The United States, since its inception as a nation, has had no singular issue, except for the Civil War, so wholly touched the fiber of the nation, and elicit from the citizens such vehement feelings, and leave the nation as divided as the conflict in Southeast Asia. This war was fought for over a decade, and had 55,000 men killed and several hundred thousand wounded. This is the story of that war, as told by the men and women of the United States who were participants both civil and militarily in the epic and perilous times. This is my second interview with James Taylor. The interview was conducted in his house on March 17, 1974. The interview is for the express purpose of Oral History 180 at San Diego State University. The instructor is Dr. Carl Adamellon. James, would you introduce yourself and tell us some of your background?
My name is James Taylor, and I'm 33 years old. I was born in the Republic of Panama and raised and educated in the Panama Canal Zone. At the age of 17, I entered the Air Force, and I was in the Air Force for approximately 19 months, where I was released on an austerity program.
What was your job while you were in the Air Force?
My first job was an air refueling operator, and subsequently I went into engineering squadron and became an apprentice as a refrigeration air conditioning mechanic.
You said you spent 19 months in the Air Force. What did you do once you were released from the Air Force?
I returned to the Panama Canal, and I obtained an apprenticeship with the Corps of Engineers. And after completing my apprenticeship, I left the Panama Canal, came to the U.S., and I was here for a year. And I worked in construction and in the refrigeration trade for a while. I returned to the Canal Zone, where I went to work for the Panama Canal Company, and then on again with the Corps of Engineers, and I worked for the Navy for a while, and intermittently I worked for the Central Intelligence Agency and the Inter-American Geodetic Survey and the Sea Level Canal Studies.
How did you get involved with the Central Intelligence Agency?
My first situation, my first involvement with the Central Intelligence Agency was when I was working for the Corps of Engineers, living on a military installation. I observed two military people. They were going into the jungle behind my house, and I observed that they were carrying crates, and on occasions they were carrying small parcels, and I became curious and followed them one day and discovered that they were preparing a cache of arms, and this was during a time when Republic of Panama was going through a threat of revolution.
Who did you contact in relationship to you discovered these two men?
Well, the first person I thought of talking to was my father, whom at the time was a fire chief with the Air Force. And he said that he would talk to the proper authorities in regard to this situation. He thought it was quite serious, and that somebody would be contacting me if it was in fact deemed serious enough to warrant further investigation.
Yeah. Who contacted you?
quite frankly, the first, there were two individuals dressed in civilian clothes, and I really didn't know who they worked for at the time. At the time, I assumed that possibly they were CID or FBI or something like that.
Did they question how you found out the information?
Yes.
Did their conversation with you, did you kind of get the idea that maybe they were thinking you were involved with these other two guys?
No. They didn't think I was involved. In fact, I got that impression right from the beginning. However, I knew that I was in with some pretty shrewd characters, and I knew that I should be apprehensive for fear that, you know, I may fall suspect to something that, you know, just impossible to understand what they were up to, except for the fact I knew that they were interested in what I had to say. And before I could really get into any kind of a story as to, you know, what I had been observing over the past several weeks at the time, they invited me to a place called PAD, which was part of the Air Force base where my father worked, and I was taken into a building with no windows.
By the same two men?
By the same two men. And I met two other men that were already there. We went into a wall, that opened up, and went into a soundproofed, enclosed room with just the...
Kind of like Get Smart?
Yeah, something like that. It wasn't a real sneaky peep place, but it, it was obvious that no one went in there unless, you know, they were invited.
Did you ever find out what the outcome of the information that you gave these, whatever the outcome of the information was?
Yes, I gave them the information that they were interested in, and they tried to elicit more information of which I didn't possess. And they felt, during this interview, they expressed their feelings that they thought I would be an ideal person to help them further their investigation by not only continuing to keep an eye on the activities of anyone else that might be entering that particular area where the cache was, but also in questioning and interviewing persons whom they felt were suspect and I was an acquaintance of, or that I could much easily gain access to, because it was pretty obvious after speaking with them for any length of time to discover that they were conducting an investigation, and they were sort of obviously dressed and that sort of thing, whereas I was a local type, and I could get next to people whom much easier than they could. You
know. When was this?
This was in around 1960 or thereabouts. I did this for them, and I apparently must have got some useful information, and it was of good quality intel, and I was apparently considered an asset to their operation. So after this had boiled over, and you might know from the record that there was, in fact, a revolution conducted by a fellow named Aquilino Boyd. After this was over with, I sort of forgot this incident until I was approached again. This time I was working for the Corps of Engineers.
After this, you had nothing else to do with these guys other than to give them the information, is this correct?
Right. And I did some investigative work for them, that is, gathering intel from persons that they had pointed out to me.
Yeah, but as far as actual participation, yours was more or less like an investigatory role instead of a participatory role in the actual coup de, you know, conflict.
Oh, yeah, yeah, right. I had nothing to do with the revolution itself. The only thing is that they felt that I had access to certain individuals who possessed knowledge or information that they wanted. And so they exploited this
information.
You know.
When this situation was no longer in effect, what did you do at that time?
I went, you know, on doing what I was doing. I was working
back at the Corps of Engineers.
Yeah, right. And this went on for a while until I was approached again. And this time, they expressed an interest in in me to the extent that they felt that I could be useful in terms of teaching.
Just because of your facilitation with the Spanish language?
Yeah, I speak Spanish fluently. And I spoke Spanish much more fluently then because I was quite young. And
was this still in 1960?
This was, I'm kind of bad on dates, but it was in either late 60, early 61. In fact, this was during my apprenticeship.
With Corps of Engineers?
Yeah, the Corps of Engineers.
And what was the mission that they contacted you the second time concerned?
Well, this was in relation to the Bay of Pigs invasion. I had participated while I was in the Air Force in resupplying Castro in Guantanamo Bay from Puerto Rico. And in fact, I was in Guantanamo City when Castro's troops took over the city.
Over through Batista?
Yeah. Batista's men at the time had already fled when the last contingents were leaving while they were moving in on the other, on the other side of the city. I was in a cantina there when I came in.
What part did you play in the Bay of Pigs?
I was an instructor at the General Warfare Training School at Fort Sherman in the Atlantic side of the Panama Canal Isthmus. I also went to TDY to Nicaragua and Costa Rica, where they had some training bases there. And my primary mission was to instruct weapons, mines, and traps. And I also assisted in PSYOPs, which is psychological warfare. This was done on a very limited basis because of the fact that it was the general consensus that this would be a pretty quick operation.
Successful?
It was on the assumption that it would be successful and very quick. And so the propaganda training was not as extensive as our, our troops are given.
Did you actually participate in the actual Alpha 66 landing team that assaulted Cuba?
Well, in an indirect way, I had been inserted once prior to the invasion.
What was the purpose of this?
This was a recon operation. To
familiarize you with the territory?
Right, because it was a policy given down to me from my superior. That once the invasion actually began, we were only observers and advisors. We could not participate in the fighting itself unless it was to defend ourselves.
After the Castro thwarted the Alpha 66 landing team, what happened to your role with the CIA at that time?
I was in the rainforest in Puerto Rico, in a safe house.
Waiting for insertion?
Waiting for an insert, yeah. We had a yellow caution, and unfortunately, we never got the green. And so we stayed there another day and a night, and we were then sent back to Panama, and where we, then my job was to assist in winding down the training operations.
Once you winded it down, did you go back to your role at the Panama Canal, though?
Yes, I went back to work for the Corps of Engineers, where I was living in Fort Gulick, which at the time was a special forces base. And working in Fort Davis with the Corps of Engineers.
Did you receive training outside, in preparation?
Oh, yeah.
Like jungle warfare training and stuff like that?
When I accepted the position with the company, I was sent to Fort Benning to jump school, and I was sent to Fort Bragg for some E&E and a little specialized training in demo. And,
would you tell us what E&E is, please?
Escape and evasion. And POW interrogation and that sort of thing. And then I was sent back to Panama, where my first job was to take part in orientation of volunteer Cubans that were coming in and doing processing, that sort of thing. Then finally I went to work teaching.
You weren't a full-time employee of the CIA, I presume. What was your role with them?
Well, I was just a what you'd call a lone labor type. I was
kind of like TDY.
Yeah, TDY. I was already working for civil service at the time, and when I was approached about it, we had a discussion. Whereas it was, you know, it didn't make sense for me to quit one agency to go to another, since I had not expressed any desire at the time to stay with the CIA. I only agreed to do this because they felt that I was needed. You were interested in the operation down in Bolivia about Che Guevara. I was in on the operation when we got the call at Fort Gulick. At the time, I was working for the ASA, which is the Army Security Agency, through the auspices of the company, and got a call at, well, I was working at, when the call came in, I was still working at Fort Davis for the Corps of Engineers, and ASA contacted me and said, you know, we got this little problem, and we'd like your assistance. And so I went into isolation, and we got briefed on the situation. And
were you inserted into Bolivia?
Yes, we went in close to Cochabamba, which was not too far from the lake, you know, in the Andes. And in fact, the place where we jumped in, he had just got through making a forage for food, and he had just went through this little village and had taken all their food, and so made things kind of awkward for us.
What was your job? What was your assignment in relationship to Guevara?
Okay, I was part of a team which was comprised of both military and civilian. We had members from the 8th Special Forces, and there were three other civilians besides myself that were available locally due to the fact that in my situation I had certain training and military operations. Our job was to stalk him, not to make contact. And when we felt that he was in a vulnerable position, we were to call in, get instructions, and then the Bolivian Rangers were going to come in and take him, which this, in fact, occurred. However, in our operations, we did make contact with him a couple of times.
Did any firefights ensue?
Yeah, we had one firefight, and we had one infiltration. Che didn't want to wipe us out. He just wanted to let us know that he knew what was happening. We pulled in one night and camped on the side of a ravine because we were desperately trying to keep up with him. He was on the move real fast, you know. And so we camped on the side of this mountain where we could watch his campfires. And we were using starlight and, watching, all the activities that were going on. And they send in a they sent in sappers, and they came in from behind us and shot our camp up, but nobody was killed or wounded.